Hi, guys. Just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, hello, hello. What's up, guys? It is Nicole. How are you? Welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. So good to be with you. Today we have an incredible episode. It is technically a real-time heal. The reason I say technically is it's a real-time heal because I picked Felicia, having received her official real-time heal request, which is simply an email. Anyone can do it, submitted to thecureforchronicpain@gmail.com with the subject line real-time heal in it. And I chose her for reasons that are explained within our conversation, but mostly because when she came into my purview through my radar in my community, and I think it was in my Instagram community where I noticed her first. So come over and join me at Instagram, should you not be, at Nicole Sachs LCSW, because I have a great community there. And I noticed her there first commenting in complete despair. This is not something unusual for me. I've been in complete despair. I have witnessed and had the privilege of walking with people through their complete despair into incredible lightness. And so seeing someone in complete despair does not shake me the way it might shake some people, but it's just something of note. I noted that she was incredibly, incredibly low. And, you know, I offered support, as did many of the people in my community, because, you know, when I make a post, people comment on it and they help each other. But what I started to notice is that she started to take the advice that she was getting. And Felicia started to do the work. And I started noticing her comments changing and her hopefulness rising and her inspiration starting to go out to others who are feeling despair. And guys, this is what it's all about. This is the total freaking point. And so, when I came, you know, because whenever I'm ready to choose more real-time healers, I go into my folder of emails with real-time heal applications, and I saw her name and I said, I wonder how she's doing. She had come to my virtual retreat in September, so I did know that she was actively doing the work. Her original real-time heal request was, as I said, pretty full of despair. So this is a real-time heal, technically. But what's incredible about it, what I was not necessarily expecting, is it's really a success story, because Felicia, upon understanding that this work was an option for her, upon understanding that her diagnoses were not life sentences and she was not broken, commenced doing this work with the kind of passion and purpose that really transforms your body and your experience. And she's doing like freaking amazing. So although this is technically a real-time heal, I gotta be honest, full spoiler alert, it's pretty much a success story because Felicia's a badass and she's doing the deal, which is what I want for every one of you. So I'm not gonna give too much more of an intro. Felicia and I do the conversation right, so you'll hear all about that. If you're new to my work, just hop over to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the resources tab, learn all about what I do, all my free content on YouTube, and if you're interested in purchasing my book, The Meaning of Truth, on Amazon. And if you'd like to join us at my next virtual retreat, it's not until the spring, May 7th through the 9th. However, there will be a cap on registrants, so if you are interested in coming, I would definitely reserve early. And that registration fee includes my full deluxe version of my online course and my 4 original meditations. So if you join us at that retreat, you can get started on those things right now for free in order to prepare yourself for that retreat, which is awesome. And finally, if you are enjoying this podcast, if you could hop over to iTunes and rate and review it, that's incredibly helpful. And that's that. So, you know, listen, 2020, it's a bit of a slog. I hope that you are hanging in there. Hope that you are working your way through whatever feelings come up with this quarantine and this pandemic and being with your family and your mother, because you know what? If it's not one thing, it's your mother. So, you know, I hope I'm sending you love. I wish you all the best. And I hope that you get some beautiful inspiration from Felicia, who is, to me, a warrior and is in short order going to be completely well. So I give you Felicia. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Time Heal. Today we are here with Felicia. Welcome, Felicia.
Hi, Nicole. Thank you.
Thank you. And so I'm going to tell you guys just a tiny bit about Felicia and me, which is that I know her a tiny bit more than I know most of my Real Time Healers, just because Felicia did attend my weekend retreat. Probably now it's been a few weeks ago. And so in the way that I know people in retreats, I've heard a little bit of her story. I've heard some of her questions, but just to be totally frank, I also hear so many people's questions and all people's stuff all the time that I don't even really totally remember, which is great because that means that I can do what I always do in Real Time Heal, which I start completely fresh. I hear someone's story. The one thing I want to say to you guys out there, the reason I picked Felicia is because one thing I remember about Felicia, and it's like when you're on Instagram, you see people's names or you see people's handles, and there's no, you know, real face or person behind it until they start speaking into your forum. And the one thing I remember about Felicia early on, and it wasn't even that long ago, is the depth of her despair. Yeah. And just the depths, and not having any real knowledge of her. This was before the retreat, and thinking to myself, my God, this girl, like my heart just really opened for her because of how expressive she was about the depths of where she was and where she's already come in such a short period of time. So I wanted to kind of open up, Felicia, to you to just explain it to me and to all of us where you were, what it was like, and we'll move on from there.
Yeah. So it was, so when I found you, I was definitely the darkest I think I've ever been in my life. And sorry if I get a little emotional during this because it's like going back, it's like you realize like how dark it was, but where I am now is like so much better. So, but yeah, pretty much when I found you, that day I had had it. I'd had enough with the treatments. I'd had enough with spending thousands and thousands of dollars on shit that wasn't working. And I was done. I felt like I was failing my daughter. I felt like I was failing my husband. I had shrunk my world so low that there was nothing. I was living in so much fear. I was in such a fight or flight. Everything was failing as far as treatments. I felt like I had nothing else to do. I was living, but I wasn't living. That wasn't living life. That was, to me, I just looked at myself in the mirror and I didn't recognize the person looking back at me. It was just so low. And that day I remember I had just had the worst breakdown of my life and I was in so much pain. And I remember just getting on my hands and knees, and I'm not even a really religious person, but I just prayed to whoever was above me to just fucking just take me. Right. I'm done. I was done. I couldn't do it anymore. And so that night I was on like my third or fourth night of no sleep, which I know a lot of people in this community can relate to due to pain. The lack of sleep can really get you. And I remember sitting on my couch and it was like 3 a.m. and I don't know what so at that point I was literally writing thinking of how I could write a letter to my daughter to say, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I failed you. I'm sorry that I'm not the mom that you needed. I hadn't held my daughter in a year. I couldn't pick her up. I was afraid to pick her up at the time, just in fear of hurting myself. And I remember just being at that point where I was done with life. I was thinking of ways how I could take my life in a way where it wouldn't scar my daughter. And then I don't know what happened, Nicole, I swear. And this is where I believe in anything that is spiritual or whatever it is. I was on my phone looking at who knows what. I don't even know what at the time. And obviously I'll get into like what I had, but I was probably researching more stuff about it. And Olivia popped up. Your story of Olivia. And her neuralgias. And I think that's probably what I was researching, but it's so crazy to me because I had been researching neuralgias for months and months and months and nothing ever popped up with you. And somehow it did. And I read her story and I was just like bawling. I was bawling at 3:30 in the morning. I'm bawling and I'm crying and I'm like, oh my God, like this poor girl went through all of this shit and she's okay. And how is this possible?
So she's amazing, by the way.
Oh my God. I am like, yeah, her story was amazing.
So let me just tell people, let me tell people real quick if they don't know what Felicia's referring to. So Olivia is the name. It's actually the stage name I gave her. Her name is really Natalie. But at the time, you know, when we first started sharing her story, I just wanted to protect her personal details. But Olivia's story is the story that's both written in my blog on my website. And it's also, she's also been interviewed on this podcast. And the title of the episode is something like the most difficult or the toughest case I've ever had.
Yeah.
And it was a story of a young girl in her early 20s who had head and facial pain and nerve pain so severe that she had been hospitalized on and off for over a year in three different countries, and was on suicide watch on her mother's couch when they found my work. And after doing the work, she is, you know, chronic pain free, completely finished 4 years of vet school, graduated the top of her class, and now she's doing an emergency residency at the University of Pennsylvania. She's incredible. She's completely free, completely free. She's an athlete. So anyway, so this is the story that Felicia's referring to. So go on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when, after reading her story, it connected me to your website. And I'm like, oh, great. Like another fucking guru who's going to tell me that they can fix me and all this shit. And I'm just like, but you know what? It just, I don't know what it was. As I'm like researching through your stuff, I'm like, oh my God. And I got deeper and deeper. And that whole night, I remember I didn't sleep. I think I was still like when my husband got up for work, he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh my God, you don't even understand. I just found like, this just made so much sense. And he's like, okay. And I was just like, okay. And so, yeah. And I think within 3 days after finding you and like going deep into your work and what it was, it just clicked. It just freaking clicked. It clicked my personality spot on. Just everything you described was spot on and your success stories. And I'm like, what do I have to lose? I have spent thousands upon thousands of dollars on treatments that haven't worked, that have made me worse. I've spent all this money and done all these things and what, this is free. It's free. It pretty much it's free. And so, and then I saw your course and I think I bought it 3 days later and I was just
so wait,
like,
I'm going to interrupt you just because it's all very, I'm very excited. I love this part of the conversation, but I want people to understand what you were diagnosed with and what it felt like to live in your body. Yeah.
Okay. So pretty much. It started exactly a year from when I found you. Prior to that, was when the major event happened. And then obviously it goes into childhood and all that stuff, but because I realized so much of it was TMS as a kid, like starting with stomach aches and anxiety and all that stuff. But so pretty much last July, right before last July, I was hit with so much anxiety. And it was to the point where it was like unbearable. And I had always had anxiety my whole life. So I've been told I've like done medication here and there, but nothing ever worked. But it was so unbearable that it was it now looking back, I'm like, it was really trying to get my attention for something. And then I had an event with my mom, who it's always been a really rocky, very rocky relationship. And at that point, it was just really severe and bad. And I was going through a lot of stuff. And I was an avid weightlifter. I loved working out for like the last 6 years. Just every day I was in the best shape I've ever been in. And one day, literally one day I woke up and I remember having the worst chest pain of my life. And I couldn't barely take a full breath. And it scared me. I thought I was having a heart attack. And so I went
into... Of course. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, like I'm, you know, I'm 28 years old. This should not be happening right now. So I'm healthy. And so I go to the doctor and they're like, nope, you're fine. EKG, totally fine. I'm like, okay. So what could it be? And they're like, you know, it's probably just anxiety. Of course, they always do the chest pain to anxiety, stuff like that. And so, okay, I was like, okay, whatever. So I left. And then it continued to get worse over the next couple days. But then the chest pain turned into severe rib and spine pain to where I couldn't move. So it was almost like I was being paralyzed, but I didn't know why. And I never had any issues with my back or really anything like rib related. So again, I went back and they're like, the only thing we can think of is that it's called costochondritis. And I'm like, what the hell? What is that? And they're like, well, it's a really rare thing. We can't see anything on x-ray. It's just, you know, they don't really know anything about it. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. So they're like, it usually just goes away on its own. Here's some medication. Here's some ibuprofen. It'll be okay. So it didn't go away. It just continued to get worse. And my fear around it got worse because I couldn't move and no one was giving me answers. So my anxiety spiked even more. My fear spiked. I was in even more fight or flight. And I just continued to get more and more depressed. I couldn't work out anymore. My husband was able to work out. I couldn't lift more than 5 pounds. It was excruciating. I'd never been to a chiropractor before ever in my life. People kept telling me to maybe go see one, but at that point I was so afraid and I was in my room probably, I was in my house for about 5 months. I didn't do much. I lost almost 20 pounds. It was a very depressing time. And then soon after that, I started getting shoulder pain. And so the rib pain and the spine pain started going down a little bit. And then my shoulder started hurting. And the shoulder pain turned into severe shoulder pain in both shoulders. Pain.
It's so TMS. How it works.
Oh, when I look back, I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. And so, but when that's happening, it's like so scary. And it's so like, what is happening to my body? And I was so angry. And I thought it was failing me. I thought my body was failing me. And so, of course, I did the whole MRI workup. I did x-rays and all this stuff. And everyone's like, you know, just other than little normal, like kind of abnormal things, but nothing that needed help. And I'm like, what is going on? And so, yeah, it was crazy. And during this time also, I'd never heard of, which is, I guess I should have known, but my psoas muscles were extremely tight. Everything was tight in my psoas. I thought it was stomach pain, but it just was my psoas, which now, thanks to Dani, I know based on her website that the psoas muscle has a lot to do with TMS as well. But yeah, it's, so it turned into shoulder pain, then elbow pain. I was told I also had a carpal tunnel, which is completely gone now. And then in March, so sorry ahead of time, this is like a lot. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe all this stuff happened. But yeah, in March, I went to my first chiropractor and he did the workup on me, and I'd never had my neck cracked before, and he cracked my neck one way and he cracked it the other way. And immediately I felt like I went stiff on the table. And I couldn't turn my head. I couldn't turn my head left or right. And I was like, and immediately I panicked even more than I had panicked. I went in for him to help me with something else, and it turned into a worse pain than I ever had in my life. So I left his office. He said, oh, no, it's fine. Your muscles are just really tight. Well, they never came back to normal. It turned into what they call occipital neuralgia. So severe nerve pain that I wanted to just rip my head off. I couldn't think. I couldn't talk to people. I was in the most, I was like, I'll take the rib pain and the chest pain and the shoulder pain over this any day. And funny enough, well, it's not funny, but funny enough, all of my spine pain and my chest pain and my shoulder pain started diminishing when I got the head pain. And so the head pain was so severe. So yeah. And of course they just, I went to another chiropractor after another chiropractor thinking that they were going to fix me. And they all said, oh no, we can fix this. And then it would just get worse and worse and worse because of course the pain didn't have to do with my body. And at that time I didn't know that. So it was just more fear and more, disappointment that nobody was fixing me. And of course, when we're in that much pain, we just want someone to fucking just fix us, just fix me.
Right.
Because like you say, we're a pop a pill society and somebody has to fix me, a doctor, somebody has to know how to fix me.
Also in with the absence of knowing that it's possible you can fix yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the only thing you could wish is for someone to fix you, because that's the only option that most of us have ever been taught.
Yep, exactly. And the worst part about it, I think, is knowing that all the things that they were telling me I had were rare. Like occipital neuralgia, if you Google it, which I do not recommend Googling occipital neuralgia. It is the worst, like, end result, like saying this is rare, you're going to live with it forever. There's a surgery for it where they have to go cut your nerves in your brain. And the success rate isn't very high. I don't even think there is a very good success rate with that. And it's just, it's horrifying. So of course I got even into more fear. And then I started getting after that, because I think my body was just so in fight or flight, I was getting severe numbness and tingling on one side of my body. I was having my body was just screaming. And so I went into my doctor because it kind of scared me. And she's like, let's do a brain MRI. And I'm like, oh my God. And she's like, I just want to rule out a couple things. And I said, okay. So we did a brain MRI and they found like a lesion, and they found just something like behind one of my eyes. And they said, we think it might be MS. And I'm like, oh my God, like what is happening to my body? What is happening to my body? So, that happened. So I was trying to get into neurologists and they were just saying, you know, we'll just watch it and you need to come back in 6 months for another MRI. But if it gets worse, just let us know. So yeah, so I kind of was dealing with all that. And then a month after that, I went in for a pap and they found precancerous cells in my cervix. So I had to do that whole procedure to get everything removed in there while having all this other pain in my body. And it's just, at that point, I was just like, what else really? Like, what else could possibly happen to me at this point? And I didn't understand. And so I started getting severe pelvic pain after I was already supposed to be healed. And I couldn't have sex with my husband, which was just devastating. It was devastating. I was like, I already was having all these issues before, and he's so amazing and he's been so supportive. But then to know that that was being taken away from me, where I couldn't have sex, was like the last straw, which sounds crazy, but it was. It was just
no. It really it doesn't sound crazy to me at all, because so many people, and I know so many people are shaking their heads out there right now. So many people with chronic pain feel so guilty for what they perceive as the burden they're placing on their loved ones.
Yeah.
That to not be able to connect intimately with your partner, I think, is a huge deal.
Yeah, because that was kind of like the one thing I had was him and our connection and how amazing he is, and then I felt like I was failing him. I wasn't even thinking about me. I was failing him. And so that was really bad. And of course, because once I started feeling pain during sex, I was becoming more and more afraid of it. So the pain was getting worse. So pretty much after that, I was still having the occipital neuralgia pain. And in May, I went to an upper cervical doctor, which they call it. It's kind of just like a chiropractor, but they only deal with the upper neck. Kind of like that girl you had on, Kate, recently. She went to one. Yeah. So she went to one of those, and he swore up and down he could fix me. He could fix me. And so my hope went way up. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is great. He can fix me. And I was in such a desperation, and it cost so much freaking money because he didn't take insurance. And I'm like, whatever, just take my money. And I remember him doing the treatments, and he put so much fear in me, because he would say, yeah, you know, they'd point out all the little things that were wrong with my neck, which I had never had issues with my head ever in my life. And he put so much fear into me as to say, okay, if while we're doing these treatments, no one can touch your neck, you're not going to be doing certain things to move your head around because it can slip out of place, and then you'll have to come back and I'll have to keep fixing it. And he's like, it could take up to a year to heal, things like that. And it's just like fear, 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 fear. And so I just couldn't do it. I had to stop him because I feel like my fear was getting even worse. And then I found another month later, I found in June a PT who I thought could just cure everything, because he said he was a different kind of PT, and he said he could fix my occipital neuralgia, he thought. But this is where the turning point kind of was. But actually, right before I found him also, I was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism on top of everything else. Oh my God. And so right before I found this PT, I was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism. I was having the speedy heart rate. I think my heart rate was around 130 beats a minute. And thyroid runs in my family really strongly, so they say. And so I was always expecting to get it in my late 20s. And so I feel like my system was just on overdrive. So I went in. I didn't want to get on medication. I remember telling that doctor, look, I know that there's a lot going on in my life right now, and could stress have like raised my thyroid levels? And he said 1,000%. He's like 1,000%. And he said, let's just watch it. Let's see if you can change it by diet, by lifestyle, by whatever. Cause I've always really been anti-medication this last year, just because I didn't want to make anything worse. And I just have such a personality where I want to try. I don't want a medication. I don't want to feel like I'm covering up something that there's obviously a cause for, which at that time I thought it was something in my body that I could fix. And I thought taking a medication would just cover it up with a Band-Aid. And that's not what I wanted, instead of getting to the root cause. So when I found this PT, he laid me on the table, and the first thing he asked me as he's going over my body was, how is your life?
What a novel question.
Oh my God, how is your life? And I said, what? And I'm like, what? I'm like, can you just fix me? And, but no, he goes, what's going on in your life right now? And I said, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's dead. That was just kind of me, like, whatever, I'm fine. But no, he goes, have you ever had any trauma? And I said, because I explained to him that this pain I was having was kind of chronic by this point. And he goes, have you had any trauma in your life? And I kind of explained a little bit of trauma that I had, about, you know, being in an abusive relationship when I was younger and stuff like that. But I said, no, but I'm over it. I'm fine. And he goes, okay. He's like, that's fine. And so as he's doing these treatments over the next few weeks, it was getting worse and worse and worse. And then the worst possible pain, which led me to just want to be done with it all, it turned into this, what they call it is, and I don't, and by the way, I don't even, this is the first time in so long that I've even mentioned the names of what they've diagnosed me with, because I feel like that it almost tries to define us. And I just don't even say them anymore. I just say, you know what?
Totally.
If that makes sense, you know? Yeah. So I just, and so it turned into what they call glossopharyngeal neuralgia. And it feels like every time you swallow, you're swallowing a knife. And
oh boy.
Oh my God. And it was the worst pain I've ever had in my life. And I even asked him, I thought he did something to me. I thought he, cause he was doing so much with my neck and my head. And I'm like, what did you do to me? And, obviously I know he didn't do anything. It was just, my body was just screaming at me to fucking stop, just stop. Just this isn't what you need to do. So I finally broke down. I remember in his office, and he was so great. And he sat me down and he's like, you are so scared. He's like, you are so scared. You're in so much fear. And I'm like, yeah, I am in fear. And I remember just breaking down crying. And he was like, you remind me so much of my chronic pain patients. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, I'm not saying the pain is in your head. He's like, I think there's more to this than your body. And I said, what? And I was so angry because I'm like so pissed that I came to him for him to fix me. And he's trying to sit down and have a freaking therapy session with me. And I'm like, what is happening? But when I left his office a few days later is when I found you. And it made sense of what he was saying. I kind of connected it. And so
it came together.
It came together. And when I found you, I canceled every appointment. I mean, I had chiropractors set up on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. I had PT. I had a naturopath. I mean, the amount of doctor's appointments, and I was done. I just canceled everything. And I just went full blown into your work. And that's kind of, that's it. that was my freaking year. And yeah. And it goes definitely into childhood and a lot of stuff that had happened, but yeah, that's mainly what led me up to finding you.
So let me ask you a question. So
yeah,
thank you, by the way, for that.
Yeah.
Really, really.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
It's important. It's important because the reason that we're here obviously is for me to help you, but the reason we're here being recorded on a podcast is because there are millions and millions of people that are suffering, and they need to know they're not broken and that other people suffer exactly how they suffer. So even though that was a long description, it's necessary. And even though the diagnoses names don't matter now, which we're going to get more into, they're necessary at the beginning to explain to people that's what happens here, you know?
Oh yeah. Cause we're so medicalized. We are a diagnosis through doctors for so many things, and we know no better at the time.
Well, that's the thing. So now you say you found my work, and what I need to know in terms of how to help you is, what have you done thus far, and how does your body feel as a result? Bring me to today.
So, oh my God. So when I dove into your work, I got your program, and I did the program fairly quickly because
the online course.
Oh yes. The online course. Yeah. And in the beginning I was so desperate to get better that I was doing too much. I was doing the work to get better. I wasn't doing it for just the good. It's good for me. Obviously everybody wants to do this work to get better. That's usually the end result. But so when I first started, I was journaling, but I wasn't feeling. I was journaling just to journal. So pretty much I am not a crier. I was never a crier. I wasn't listened to as a kid. I wasn't really the emotional one because I was always strong all the time. And so I went through a lot of childhood stuff and dug stuff deep down. And my family was a very get over it. You know, this will make you stronger through it. Like, we don't deal with our issues in our family. We sweep them under the rug and move on to the next day. So when I'm journaling, I didn't really know how to feel. It was hard to feel. And so one day, I remember I journaled, and then within an hour, I watched one of Dan Buglio's videos. And he was saying, you're something about like really feeling your feelings. Like, you really need to feel your feelings. And I remember I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, you are not feeling like you. I was like fighting with myself. And I'm like, yeah. There is more. Like, you are going to sit down and you're going to fucking feel. And sorry for the F-bombs, but I'm like, when I get passionate about stuff, I'm like, you're going to do this. So, I sat down and I thought, and I took something off of my list, and I bawled. I bawled. I literally sat there and I took myself back to a moment and I just lost it. And I remember, at the time, now I do it on the computer, but at the time I was writing on paper and I wasn't even writing. I remember I closed my eyes and I had pen to paper and I was scribbling down, and I think I ripped through the pages, and it was the biggest release I think I've ever had in my life. And through Journal Speak, it has been the most life-changing experience of my life. I was never one to go to therapy. I never talked about my problems. I was always so focused on everybody else's problems and trying to help them. And if they asked me how my day was, it was fine. I'm fine. Even though I was dying.
Right.
I'm dying. But it's okay. I'm fine. And so I am always about everybody else. And I know a lot of people on this journey are very, don't talk about their pain because they don't want to feel like a burden or feel like they're complaining. And so it's a very lonely place. So definitely during this Journal Speak, it's been a huge, huge release. Like, and in the beginning I was doing it not great, but after that moment, I began to Journal Speak daily and just do it as like taking a multivitamin, just doing it to stay healthy. Because I was releasing so much junk on a daily basis. And I've cried more in these last 3 months than I have in my entire life. Like, just, I think I cry on a daily basis when I Journal Speak. Some days are just, whatever. Like, it's not much. But then, and now I realize why that 20 minutes is so important. And you put that time down, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, can I just do it for 5 minutes? And what about like 10? And it's like, no. Like, even if you just sit there for like 10 minutes, within 15 minutes, I can start out by saying, oh my God, I hate my kid. Or, oh my God, my kids drive me fucking nuts. And then within 20 minutes, I am at like 4-year-old me bawling. Yes. It's so crazy. It's so crazy.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, okay. So you're like, first of all, just if anyone's wondering exactly how to do this, Felicia is telling you exactly how to do this. This is a fucking up at dawn pride swallowing siege. That is a line from Jerry Maguire. It is a brave and bold excavation of the things that are keeping you toxic.
Yeah.
I have so much to say about your story. I need to know one more thing before I get into helping you.
And you can interrupt me at any time. Feel free.
What does your body feel like now? So I know what your body felt like at the worst, because you explained it, and I know what you've been doing. Yeah. So where do we find you today at your level of symptoms?
So today, I have no more rib, chest, spine pain. I have no more carpal tunnel. Well, they said it was carpal tunnel, but I have no pain there. My shoulder pain is probably almost gone. Elbow pain has maybe come like once or twice. I am actually back to working out, which is just, I wasn't able to work out for a year. And I lost about 25 pounds in that year of just muscle. And I am working out and I feel strong and I feel amazing. And yeah. And so the occipital neuralgia pain is, it's gotten so much less. So when I first started journal speak, my symptoms went fucking nuts. Like,
yes, it was to tell people.
Oh my God, you guys. So the way I think about it is I went about, I don't know, because I figure my TMS symptoms started when I was around 5 or 6. So I went about 25 years with my brain trying to protect me from all of these feelings that I wasn't allowed to feel. And all of a sudden I'm dumping it out on paper. Of course, my body was like, what the fuck? No, like we do not go there. We don't go there. We don't feel these things. And it tried to stop me. And after I would journal, I almost would feel like I'm going to throw up. Mm-hmm. I would almost feel, and then I'd feel like my head pain going off. It was almost like sirens. But it's gotten, as I've done it every day and I soothe myself after, and I feel like it's going down. And so, and also a big thing too. So the head pain's definitely going down. The throat pain's gone down. It's still a work in progress, but like I've posted a couple times on your group, I just don't fucking care anymore if I have pain. I don't. I just
yes,
don't.
And
I just don't. I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. I get being like, how can you not care? Like, it's so painful. And it's like, I get it. And at the same time, I am very a believer in we get one life and that is it. We don't get to redo it. We don't get nothing. And so I am not going to let this stop me. And I know that this tool will help me heal. It already has. Even for like the people that are like, oh, I just don't. Even if you have one day of like going out with friends and having a fun time and you're like, oh shit, I didn't have pain for like 20 minutes. And just like having that little belief like that for me helped me know that it's TMS. It's all TMS. And the belief is huge too. I just don't fucking care. I just don't care anymore. And some days are bad. And I can tell like when I'm really stressed, I'm like, okay, what's going on? Like, obviously I'm stressed. I get it. And I'll talk to myself and I'll journal in the morning, but I'll tell myself, you know what, honey, we're okay. We're okay. Yeah. We're safe. Instead of being like, oh shit, I need to go to the doctor. Like, oh, nope. Like instead of freaking out, I'm just like, I'm still going to go about my day. I see you. I hear you. I totally get it, but I'm safe. What I'm feeling isn't dangerous. And that's it. And it'll usually go away. And I've had so many like weird instances where I've gotten nausea or like a little tinge of like knee pain or something. And I'll talk to myself and within 5 seconds, it's gone. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so weird. And I'll tell my husband and he's like, that's freaking weird.
Okay, so I want to – I have more questions for you, but yeah. I don't want to lose sight of something I feel like I need to say based on the first like 20 minutes of this talk. So What I want to say is this. For everyone out there and to just further solidify this for you, Felicia.
Yeah.
The human body is misunderstood.
Right.
Period, the end. The human brain and body and the dance between the brain and the body and the nervous system is misunderstood. So here is, I'm just going to take it the real long story and I'm going to just in 30 seconds say what happened to Felicia. She was probably born a very with an anxious nature, just like me, just like so many of us, vigilant, sensitive, aware, connected, empathic.
Yeah.
And so what happened was she had these feelings. She had her life experiences and her trauma, whatever it was. It continued to deposit into this reservoir that we all hold within us of shame and sadness and rage and fear and trauma and anxiety and all these feelings. And then at some point, it started to become too much. It started to rise to her consciousness. And that's when she got her first pain that led to this cascade.
Oh, yeah.
And oftentimes in childhood, when we look back, we can see like stomach problems and anxiety and, you know, headaches from childhood. But the most important part of this progression, Felicia, in terms of this cascading horror into what happened was the first pain that began this cycle, because what happens then is, as a sentient feeling adult, we become panicked and scared.
Oh, yeah.
And fear begets meaning, and meaning begets fear, and fear fuels the pain. And here's where the medical community, well-meaning as it is, fully, yeah. And this is not a but, this is an and. I do not think that the medical community is out to get us, is out to strip us of our money. But here's what happens in the medical community. There are diagnoses that are words that can label certain symptom clusters. And they have a name, you know, like occipital neuralgia. That's a name that identifies certain symptom clusters. So a doctor is not mistreating us when they say, oh, I see what you have. You have occipital neuralgia, because it checks these boxes. I get it. I mean, I'm classically trained as a psychotherapist. I understand differential diagnosis. I understand how we label people, and the label is supposed to be helpful because the label allows us to treat them. I get it. But what happened to Felicia, and what happens to so many of us, is that because the problem is never going to be fixed in the area of our body where it's showing up, then all of these names that are given to us and these labels that we amass are hurting us, because they fuel the fear, which fuels the meaning, which fuels the fear, which fuels the pain. And when we start jumping from lily pad to lily pad and seeking the help of these doctors, each time this doctor or chiropractor or naturopath, when it doesn't fix that area, what the brain and the nervous system do is they panic and they send pain somewhere else. Because if indeed we are going to continue looking in this direction, what the brain and this nervous system knows is that we're never going to solve the actual problem. So let's bring it somewhere else. So this is exactly what happened to Felicia. It just kept moving and moving and moving. And sometimes even when it moved, the old pain stayed and the panic. So what I want to say to everybody is, nobody in this scenario is at fault. Nobody in this scenario is doing anything wrong. The pain was never and is never in Felicia's head. The pain is being experienced through the very systems that are being affected. It doesn't mean that when we have neurological pain, our nerves aren't overfiring. They are. But why are they overfiring? Why is the real question. And what Felicia is explaining, and what I've worked with thousands and thousands of people across over the years and all over the world, what everyone has experienced is what you're saying, which is, once we deal with the core reason as to why these nerves are overfiring, that's when they stop doing it.
Yeah.
So it's not that the pain is any different than it's being explained by a doctor. It's just the genesis of the pain.
And I think also, and the desperation to get better. And you say this quote all the time, and I swear to God, it's so important. It's the, what you say is the need to be different than you are. What is that quote that you always say? It's like
desire to be different than you are is read by the nervous system.
Oh my
fear.
God. And so we all want to be better. All of it. It's just, it just is what it is. But, and I see it on your page every day, and I totally get it, 'cause I was there. The amount of people that are like, oh my gosh, I have this, and this, could this be TMS? And I just need to get out of pain, and I can't do this anymore. And it's just like, I totally get it. And everyone else that has healed from this, I'm sure, is like, just, you have to not want to get better. And it sounds so mean to say to someone who's in pain, but it's so true.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And it doesn't sound mean. Well, I mean, that person might hear it.
Right. Yeah.
But they wouldn't even hear it as mean. What they would just be as scared.
Right. Exactly.
They'd be scared that they couldn't do it. And so when someone's scared they can't do something, then they can get defensive about what's being said. So, okay. So that's what happened in Felicia's body. She came to a point of desperation and got on her knees. And honestly, even if you're not a spiritual person, I beg of you, come to that space where you can get on your proverbial knees, because desperation leads to surrender, and surrender leads to openness and willingness, and that leads to truth, my friends.
Yeah.
And that is why Felicia is alive today and with us. And it's so powerful to me. Your story is so powerful. So in the remaining time, Felicia, you know, it's funny that we're calling this a real time heal because it's more of like a success story.
I know. But I am still, and I do want people to know, like, I'm still on this journey and I'm still learning every day and I still have bad days, but I'm not afraid of the pain or the symptoms anymore. I never let it get to that point where I'm terrified. I just say, if it's so severe one day, I'll just be like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to lay down, but I'm going to lay down for like 15 minutes and I'm going to go about my day again because this is just, it's not going to stop me anymore. It's just not going to.
So how can I be of service? Like, is there something that you could ask me? Maybe something that's unclear. I mean, from my perspective, you are on it, girl. Like, you get it. You get it about the mindset. You get it about the indifference. You get it about how things that, you know, fire together, wire together. So if you're constantly scared and thinking about your pain, well, that's what's going to wire. And if you have indifference and if you get on with your day and go work out, well, it's going to unwire. So you get that. So what, is there any way that like you need help?
So when it comes to like my child, so I have to say also that the inner child work in your work has been, that's probably the biggest. And I know I hear that from a lot of people that do your work. The inner child thing gets me every time. Like, I cannot do an inner child journal speak or your inner child, what is it? The meditation. Oh my God. It is like bawling tears every time. So the biggest thing that I have an issue with is I have a lot of issues with my mom. Me and her are on non-speaking terms. Pretty much she was not very loving to me as a kid. I was bullied. I was bullied at school from a young age, and I would come home and she would just kind of tell me to get over it, kind of thing. And even growing up, like, she just, my feelings didn't matter, but hers did. She used me as her, I was her diary, even though I was her kid. I was the wrong person. I was her diary for her problems, her divorce, her new relationships. It was like, and I just took it and took it and took it. So that's why it led up to my pain, because so much had happened right before that my body literally, I wasn't listening to my anxiety. I wasn't listening to anything my body was trying to tell me to stop. And my reservoir, how you call it, exploded. Like, it was so full that my body stopped me with that spine pain or my chest pain. And I finally listened to my body. So my biggest thing, I guess, is a lot of my journal speak has been around my mom and my relationship with her and like parent stuff. So I will get through it and be so angry. And then, I mean, I journaled on it so many times, and I know people will journal about things like that a lot, and it takes time. But I feel like sometimes after journal speak, I'm like, oh my God, like, there's no way there's anything else. And I am forgiving her, not for her, but for me. But I continue to still, like, after like an 18 minute mark in my journal speak, I'll still continue to like go and journal about her. And I just want to know if that's something, or like, I'll finish a journal speak and I'll be like, okay, cool, that's done. And 2 days later, I'll have a nightmare where it's so vivid of me like grabbing her face and screaming at the top of my lungs that I want her to listen to me or her to apologize, that I'll wake up in tears. And it's like, it's just the fact that I want to be heard by her, and I never will. And I'll never get that apology. And I've even written a journal speak about the apology that I will never get. And I apologize to myself as if it was her. And, I just don't know. Do I just continue? I mean, obviously the little one inside of me is literally just screaming and is like, no, I'm still mad and I'm still really angry. But do I keep going with that journaling about her until it is like no more?
You know, it's a great question because we are so affected by our relationships with our primary caregivers. Yeah. And it sounds like this was your primary caregiver. And
right.
The mother wound is, you know, it doesn't have a coined phrase for no reason. The mother wound is the mother wound. So here's what I want to say. You're still so new into this. And, you know, I often say to people, if it takes you 30 years to walk into the woods, you're not walking out in three months. And so the first thing I want to tell you is, yes, your little girl has been lost and alone for so many years. And not only does your mother owe her an apology and in the most loving journal speak terms, so do you, because you didn't know that she needed to be heard. So it's not your fault.
Right.
But even then, even when it's not someone's fault, they still sometimes owe an apology. And I know one thing I've had to do over the years is just take that little girl in my arms and literally beg for her forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was too inconvenient to go back and carry her. So I've left her starving and freezing and shaking alone for years and years. And little by slowly, as I have gone back through the experience of looking at my own children's suffering and realizing how it triggers me into my suffering, through the years, I have been able to go back and find her in her little spaces and say, I see how neglected you are. So I'm just going to sit here as long as we need.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a day and sometimes that's every day for weeks and months and how, or like going there and then kind of taking a break from it, but getting triggered by like, let's say one of my teenagers has an issue with their friends and I get triggered again and I go back to her. It's really a lifelong journey. And I think one thing that you are understanding, but probably I would advise you to open yourself up to this always, is that there's no end game to this.
Yeah.
We're not looking to finish up and, you know, get her dressed in a pretty dress and a little bow. And guess what? She's fine now. Go off and play. And we're so tempted, and especially mother to mother, even as parents, we're so tempted to just like have our kids be done being upset or be being everything.
And I will say, but that is a huge thing with this work that has transformed my parenting style. Oh my God. Like, I was so angry at myself and with what I was going through that I was taking it out on her. Oh my God. And I feel, and I've done so much journal speak on that, that I felt so guilty, but now it's just so great because you know what, if she is having a day, which she does, she's seven, but if she is having a day, I will journal speak the shit out of it. And I will just be like, you little shit, like you piss me off or you, oh my God, like why did I have a kid or whatever? I don't mean any of that stuff. But it needs to be said in journal speak. And I will come out and be like, okay, like I get you're having a day. And I can talk to her in that way. Whereas before I would explode in anger. And it was just, and it was horrible.
I think this is a really important thing for people to understand because I know a lot of people feel very guilty either about how they've treated their children or their partners or their colleagues or their friends because they've just been so low that sometimes that's just what happens. You are going to have people in your life that make you crazy, but if you go nuts on them in your journal speak, you will not feel worse about them.
Yes.
You will feel better. Yep. And you need to get that. There are times I live for my family. I have a lot of people in my house. I have five children. I have a wife and I have a dog. And a lot of times the kids have friends over and my house is a really hectic place. And there are times I have to retreat into my space and I have to tell everybody exactly where I want them to go, which is usually out of my life forever.
Yeah.
And when I'm done with that, I can walk down into the kitchen and literally I'm so excited to see them because that that anger and that static that lives between us and the people that clearly we love, but they also make us crazy, it's gone.
Yeah.
I have so many people say to me, but what if I journal speak like that about my kid, I'm never gonna be able to look at her again. No, actually.
No, I totally
it's
get
the
that.
Opposite.
Yeah. Cause at first when it's I sat the there, I'm like, I can't really say these things about my kid. Like how can I say I hate being a fucking mom? I hate it. I hate being a stay-at-home mom. I hate it, especially during COVID. Like, fucking kill me. But I, oh my God, like, kill me. I am not, I don't know what to do. But yeah, and that's like a huge thing. Like, you're on your Instagram yesterday, that I am evidence of literally throwing your hands up and just being like, Jesus, take the effing wheel. Like, please, I have no control. I just have no control over this. And that's like a huge thing too, is just being in the right now and not tomorrow or the next day, or it's just letting it be. Whatever is, is.
Well, exactly. And another thing is, you know, there's no cure for the human condition.
No.
Guys, like, we are human people. We are in a human life. We are feeling beings. We're dealing with the adversity of just trying to be alive. And that is a beautiful thing. See, like, that's the thing. When you get rid of all this resistance and repression,
yeah,
you are present for it all. You are present for it all. And it's, and then of course, the side effect of life, which is that your pain has been killing you, goes away.
Yeah.
And almost every person that I've ever either worked with or I've heard their transformative story says the same thing, which is they're grateful for the pain because it woke them the F up. Yeah. And now they can live their lives fully and fully present, because the pain is the biggest, littlest part. Felicia, I predict within the next 6 months, you're going to be completely chronic pain free. Yeah. All of that stuff that happened to you will be gone, but you're going to be alive.
Yeah.
You're going to be here, Nicole, for,
like,
this.
The fact, I really feel like I was reborn. And I know that sounds corny, but it's, I swear, when I started this work, I feel like I'm a new person. I feel more open and I feel calm, and I feel being at peace is something I've always wanted. And I finally feel like I'm finding myself, and I'm able to put boundaries up with people that I never have. And I don't feel guilty for it anymore, because I matter too. I matter. My life matters. And at the retreat, I remember my first question to you was about my dad. And you're like, I don't mean to be mean to your dad, but this isn't about him. This is about you, and you're here to save your freaking life. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, she's so right. And that's the thing. And if I can, I have your book in front of me, and I feel like this is so important, this little quote that you put in your book, and I literally have it highlighted from the time I bought it. And I swear this is going to be a tattoo. I like love tattoos, but it says, thank God for the pain. Without the pain, I would not have been desperate. Without desperation, I would not have seen the way to surrender. And without surrender, I would have never found my truth. And that shit spoke to me. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. It's so deep and it's so true, because I know you hate your pain right now if you're sitting there in a little fetal position and you're like thinking that your body is against you. But I am so thankful for the pain. I am. I really am. And I know that sounds crazy to so many people, but once you get to that point of being like, my pain saved my life. It did.
Isn't that amazing? And isn't that amazing? And the reason that I opened this conversation with saying that, the reason I contacted you back. So Felicia's real-time heal request was actually not, like, it wasn't yesterday. It was probably
in
a
July.
Couple months ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Her real-time heal request was desperate. It was all caps.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And
yeah.
Okay. And the reason that I went back to her and I chose her for this podcast is because I saw her embrace her desperation. I watched her surrender, and I saw her doing the work. And I know that she is enlightened now. And that is available to every single one of you. I don't care how deeply you suffer. I promise you, this is for you. Yeah. Because if you are a human being, so if you're not a human being and you're listening to this and you're one of those aliens that lives among us, then I can't guarantee it, because I don't know about non-humans. But if you're a human being, and if you feel things, and if you have relationships with people, and if you have a past, this is available to you. And when you start opening yourself to it, no matter how crazy it seems, no matter how hard it seems, no matter how resistant you feel, because you think it's impossible for you to go back and feel what you need to feel, please give yourself the gift of being curious. Replace your fear with curiosity, because this, look at Felicia, for God's sakes.
And if you don't think that this can work for you, I get it. And if you're like, no, but I've had a surgery, or I've had, I don't know, whatever diagnosis, because I get it. You're probably like, oh, but I don't know. Like, this seems so crazy to work for me. It can work. You just have to throw your hands up and just do what Nicole tells you to, and just start living your life again. Because that, I feel like, is so, it's just so important to go back, because we're just also used to being in this tiny bubble, and we've shrunk ourselves. And once we burst out of that and we are feeling our feelings again and we're okay with just being as we are right now, even if we are in pain, okay, it's, I get it. It's okay. It's just however you feel today just is. It just
is. It's just how you feel today.
It's how you feel today. And you know what? It's uncomfortable and it's not fun, but I'm going to just keep going because I can. I'm not dead. We're not dead.
Well, listen, Felicia, I'm going to still call this a real-time heal because we said it was.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's the best news possible. And, and my favorite thing about the fact that I just get so many, I'm inundated with requests for real-time heal is that when I go back into, I keep all the letters, guys, and I go back into them and I look for people that have started with desperation, but that are starting the work. Because the reason, and I want to say this actually, this is helpful to people because I get so many real-time heal requests. Obviously, I can't pick everyone. So, I mean, there's really like no offense and I'm sorry that I can't pick everyone. But the reason that I choose the people I choose is because in 1 hour of time, I cannot take someone who has not tried this at all and bring them to any place. Like this is such a personal journey. I do need people to attempt it so I can take whatever they've done for themselves and I can build on it. With Felicia, you are kind of unique in that your desperation was so great and your willingness was so great. And that combination is like, you know, it's the key combination that you've dove into this so hard that this isn't even a real-time heal. You're just like doing exactly what you need to do. You're exactly where you need to be. Your question about your inner child and your mother wound is perfect because the answer to it is left foot, right foot, breathe. You're doing it.
And that's like, I feel like that's like my motto for life right now. Like anytime something's hard, it's like, okay, just breathe. I'm okay. Like one step at a time. And I have my days and I just want to say really quick, I know that we need to finish up, but I just have to say thank you because for everybody, like you have given us a community to be able to speak up and tell our stories and share our struggles and our successes, because I think it's such a lonely, being in chronic pain is lonely. A lot of people don't understand it. And a lot of people that are in chronic pain, I feel like don't want to burden other people with their problems and they don't want to feel like they're complaining. And you give us a place to express how we feel about what we're struggling with. But then also it's just so amazing to have, just to have this place to come and to be honest. And it's just great. It's an amazing, and so many of us have never been heard. I know a lot of us in childhood weren't able to be heard, and you're giving us a chance to be heard. And like, I want to thank you personally for having me on here because I was emotional last night because I was never heard. And being in a situation where I'm able to share how I feel and my struggle and my success or whatever is really great. And I appreciate you for having me on here for that.
Well, you are so welcome.
Thank you.
You are doing something. You're doing something beautiful for yourself, and you're doing something really extra beautiful for every single person who listens to this, because this is an incredibly inspirational hour of my life and of theirs. Because this is the kind of shit where people sit and say nothing will ever change for me, and then to hear your story, it might make someone believe that it could.
If I can go through 10 different symptoms or whatever I had, and get through that, like you guys, I know it sucks, but you can do it. And I know you guys are probably so sick of hearing this that are listening to this that are like, oh, but I'm in so much pain. You can do this. It's just do the work and just breathe. You're okay.
Yeah. So important. All right. Well, listen, this has been wonderful. Thank you, Felicia, again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Nicole.
And for all of you guys out there, if this podcast is meaning something to you, if it's helping you, if you want to help other people find it, please just go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It really helps people find the show. And until next time, this has been Real Time Heal with me, Nicole Sachs, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.